Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Kapp.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome back to the Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and this is episode 228. Now, for those of you who are hoping to hear from Brenton, he's still MIA at this stage. Don't know where he is, don't know what he's doing. Hopefully he's enjoying a good break, getting back on the show shortly when he returns from the New Year Christmas break. Now, just because Brenton's away doesn't mean that we don't have Microsoft Cloud news, and there is some interesting points here that I thought that I'd like to let you know to make sure that you're up to speed with the latest. So one of the first things is that Microsoft has released the Edge browser. Its new Edge browser is now available in a production version, so you can go to that location, download the latest version of Edge. This is the one that is based on Chromium. Now, if you have an existing installation of some of the beta or Canary or whatever testing areas, they will remain. You continue to update those. But when you download this new version, the version that is in production now, and install it on a machine, it will replace the icon and the default for the legacy Edge that comes with Windows 10. So that'll do a direct replacement. Now, legacy Edge is still in there, but now it's effectively hidden away, a bit like Internet Explorer. So very positive on this browser, a lot of benefits to it based on the Chrome. So it's very much like Chrome. As I may have mentioned before, I'm not installing Chrome or basically any other browser except Brave on my new machine. So working with the new Edge browser and also Brave for privacy reasons on all my machines. So I'll put a link in the show notes so you can have a look, go download it. I've put it on a number of machines. Works really well. Now, what I really like about it is the fact that it integrates with some of the security baseline policies that Microsoft's brought out that allows you to lock this browser down and control it more if you are in a business or an enterprise environment. So go and have a look at it, download it, install it. I think there's a great step forward for Microsoft, very positive, and hopefully, again, will give them a greater market share and remove some of the stigma that is around the Microsoft browsers. Now, probably the other big news is that Microsoft, although it has been doing a lot of good things lately, has decided to get rather aggressive with its rollout of search. So the concept here is that if you integrate Office 365, Microsoft 365 with Bing, so basically if you set up an account with Bing, so if you go to bing.com, you'll see that there's an ability to create an account. If you create an account, much like a Google account, it will allow you to retain history and have some other benefits as well. Now, the interesting thing here is that when we integrate Bing with an Office 365 login, what we get basically is we get the ability that when we do a search, that search results will also go through your local intranet. So what that means is that you can have one search engine that will search not only the internet, but will also search your local, not your local content, it will search your cloud content as well. Now, the great thing about this is that it means that you only have to go to one place to search inside and outside the organization, and it makes it nice and easy. It presents the results, they're customized, the intranet stuff basically is secured, and it's going to give you a much better experience. Now, as many people can appreciate, the reality is that there is a pretty small market share for Bing. So what that means is a lot of people are probably using Chrome, and if they want to see these benefits, they're going to need to use Bing, which they're probably not going to see. So they're not going to appreciate all the hard effort that Microsoft has put into this. Now, unfortunately, I think Microsoft has been a bit aggressive in this. What they're doing is with the latest rollout of Office 365 Pro Plus, what they've decided to do is to basically add an extension to all Chrome browsers. Now, what this extension is going to do, it's basically going to change the default search capabilities in the Chrome browser, and it's typically going to force that default search engine to be Bing. So again, remember, this is machines that have Office Pro Plus, so the desktop version of Office. They will get a new attachment if there is a Chrome browser there. That attachment will basically make Bing the default search engine. Now, Microsoft tells us that when the user runs the browser, the Chrome browser, for the first time after this extension has been installed, they do get the option to an option will pop up that allows them to change that default browser back to whatever they want, but it's going to be set as Bing by default. Now, as you can imagine, there's been a pretty major outcry about this. There's a lot of questions being asked. Unfortunately, again, I think it's Microsoft, again, being very aggressive. I understand the reason why they need to. They need to get this out in front of people for people to see the benefits. But there, again, is causing a lot of angst, I think, out there in the market. So hopefully Microsoft will step back from that. I think it's fine, perhaps, to install the extension. I think it would be fine to pop up an option and give people the ability to swap via choice. But to go in and change the default is very, very aggressive and, in some cases, very, very intrusive, I think, for some people. So it's not going to win Microsoft any favors. So if you are someone who looks after customer machines with lots and lots of machines and they are using Chrome, just beware of this update. I'll make sure I put the link in the show notes so you can go and have a look. There are some workarounds, there are some ways that you can block this or prevent this. We'll see what happens in the short term. Again, it is a very aggressive move by Microsoft, and in some cases, again, is removing some of the good credits that they've built up with their other things. So please be aware of that the default engine on Chrome will be changed for those who are using Office Pro Plus in select countries, typically things like Australia, US, UK and whatnot. And you can block it if you want, but it will change. That extension will be added to Chrome automatically and automatically change the default search engine to Bing, which probably is going to upset, I think, a lot of people. So let's see what happens on that, but make sure you have a look at the show notes if you want to understand what's going on and how you can control that rollout if you want to. Now, speaking of the good side of the ledger, hopefully Microsoft has also said that he's going to be carbon negative by 2030. So it's going to basically aim to be an absorber of carbon from the atmosphere. Very, very interesting that in light of basically the climate change discussion that Microsoft is taking this route, a lot of businesses are moving this way. So again, it's a good way, I think, for Microsoft to show its commitment to the global community and look at reducing carbon. So I'll put a link in the show notes so you can go in and have a look at that. Now, finally, don't forget that the Windows 7 operating system now has gone end of life. That happened a little while ago now. The world hasn't ended. There are probably still people out there using Windows 7, but make sure that you are aware of this. Microsoft can provide extended support for this if you do wish, but there is a cost to that, and it will go up every year as an incentive to move to Windows 10. Now, there's also Windows Server operating systems that have gone end of life, so 2008 and I think 2008 R2. Some SQL also has gone end of life, and we face end of life also in October for Office 2010. So make sure you keep on the roadmap there. You understand what happens when these releases do go out of support, what's involved. We'll see what happens with the Windows 7 environment, because there's still a fair number of people that are running that sort of environment. We'll see if they are they end up, in fact, having some sort of security issue. Nothing has happened as yet, but let's see. It's always better on the latest and greatest release. So make sure that you are aware of that. You do talk to people, encourage them to upgrade. Typically, if they're running Windows 7, it's probably a good time to look at getting a new PC, some new year specials out there. Take advantage of that and get a newer, up-to-date operating system. Now, there were also some major patches that came out recently that have been brought to light by the NSA. These are remote access bugs, I suppose, in the Windows 10 operating system that the NSA made Microsoft aware of. Microsoft has patched those. They apply to Windows servers as well. So please, please, please make sure that you go and do a Windows update. Make sure that you do have those latest patches, because again, they are quite nasty when you look at what potentially can be done by that. So make sure that you're always running an up-to-date operating system, also keeping that up-to-date on a regular basis. The good thing now is we're looking at things like the new Microsoft Edge, which will do that automatically for us as well. So lots of new software out there for a new year. We're expecting a big year from Microsoft. Lots of announcements coming. It's beginning to ramp up. Hopefully shortly we'll hear from Brenton when he returns from his break, but we will have Brenton on for the interview after this little bit here. So again, as always, you can contact me on the Twitters at N2K Podcast. Also the same on Facebook. If you want to use email, feedback@needtoknow.cloud. And remember, if you do want to find out what Brenton's up to, at Contact Brenton, and you'll find myself at Director CIA. So with that, why don't we get into the interview and let's hear from Brenton as well.
Hey, Brenton, good to see you again.
Ah, good to have you back on the show, Lorenzo. How you been?
I've been a very busy bee over here and having a lot of fun being very busy looking after our friends that are MSPs out there.
Yep. So for those who don't know, and I'll probably already say this in the podcast, but for those who don't know, Lorenzo is co-founder and CEO of Glue. Him and Andrew have created this amazing product that I use in my business that helps MSPs actually make money from hardware rather than it being a painful, long-winded experience where they might make some money, but it costs them a lot of time. And then you're sitting there going, oh, I wish I didn't have to sell that box. So that's the problem that you solve essentially, isn't it, Lorenzo?
Yeah. I mean, most people are initially interested in Glue because it simplifies a whole quoting procurement process. They want better looking proposals that are easier to do. But it's kind of a bit stealthy in the sense that you end up selling so much more product simply because it's so simple to do. And when things are simple to do, they get done. And one day people wake up thinking, oh, wow, like my product revenue's just doubled and then doubled again. And it wasn't a strategic objective of the business. It just sort of happened. And that's a story we've seen again and again since the last time we talked in particular.
Yeah, and I remember back then you're saying, you know, the customers want to buy, they want to buy hardware from us, but you don't make it easy for them. They can go down to JB Hi-Fi, pick out a box, pick out a monitor or a cable or whatever, take it home, plug it in, done. And we go, oh, look, we're going to quote you. It's going to take a couple of weeks. They go, oh, I don't want that, you know. So they get conditioned not to ask. Whereas with this platform, they can go onto your website, find the one that they like, say, hey, it says it's in stock. Can I have it? And you go, yep, and it will be delivered tomorrow, as long as you get payment through in time, which they can do with credit card or whatever. So I think that's really quite compelling. And when we're talking about 21st century technology and transformation and moving forward through all of these things, this is really what we're talking about. We're taking a process that was quite antiquated and painful, and we turn it into a streamlined process that people want to be engaged with, that has a good customer experience. And you've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes since we last spoke. What's changed in the product since then, Lorenzo?
Well, firstly, we've delivered functionality for overseas, so multi-currency and so forth, and we've delivered that for New Zealand initially, and we have our raving fans in New Zealand, but now also our first customers in the US. So that's a lot of work. The other thing is that we've significantly enhanced the proposal capabilities of the system. So the editor that provides device responsive proposals has had a lot of work done to it. So we've had a lot of feedback. There's a lot of customers that are very passionate about Glue, and we've got a roadmap portal where they can provide feedback, and that's been very helpful in helping to develop the product and system.
Excellent. So you've been into New Zealand, you've got to the States, you've done a few things, but for those who weren't lucky enough to hear the podcast last time, can you give us sort of a 60-second spiel on what your background is, how the product come about, and where we are today?
Yeah, in a nutshell, my former business, where we developed this system, which is now over a 28-year process, we were selling to about 64,000 businesses on a regular basis, now, most of which had an IT service provider. And cut a long story short, we eventually came to the conclusion that most of those customers didn't really want to buy from us. They would have rather bought from their IT service provider. So we just decided to make our platform multi-tenanted and enable the MSP to do what we used to do. And for MSPs, it's really important that product sales remains a sideshow in their business. It's just simply too hard to find anything that's disparate, and hence most MSPs try to narrow down what they sell and only sell a core range. But the fact is that those same customers buy a lot more IT products, or they don't necessarily buy them, but they would buy them if their MSP sold them, because they don't really know what to look for. And if the MSP or the engineer that turns up at their office offers it, then they will just buy it. So we've looked at ransom analytics, and we've hit this threshold of $1 billion of quotes when you annualize what went through the system in September 2019. That annualized.
That's a billion with a B, Lorenzo.
With a B, yeah, which we thought that would happen next year. That happened a bit earlier. And some have got very good closure ratios, others not so good closure ratios. And I think it's partially because it's so simple to quote things that they're just quoting a lot more stuff and having a go. We've also analyzed the margins. So for MSPs that sell less than $20 million a year in product, they're doing an average margin, not markup, of 19.9%, and that translates to about a 24% markup, and that's across notebooks to cables to all the things that they buy. We've seen some really crazy revenue increases. We've been telling people that they should expect to see a doubling in their product revenue within 12 months, and that's quite typical. But there's some customers that have had, what, one we've handed out an award to for 736% product revenue growth off a decent base since they started using Glue 2 years ago. And they've still got the same 11 staff today that they did have 2 years ago. So, or same number of staff in any case. So it hasn't increased their operational costs. So you can imagine the profitability of that business has increased dramatically.
Yeah, well, I think I can't remember which entrepreneur it was, but I think it was Warren Buffett that says all the profit is in the efficiency, something to that effect. I should find the exact quote and put it into the show notes for people, but this is exactly what we're talking about. If you can do more revenue per head in your business and your costs are sensible, as in you're not losing money on that revenue, you're doing pretty well. Like if you can keep 20% of that, you're doing pretty well, aren't you?
Yeah, well, why would you want to grow a part of your business that's not profitable? But if this reduces your OPEX by more than 80%, that really turns any transaction into a profitable transaction. The other thing that it does is it sort of stealthily improves the culture of your business, the sales culture. Because if a customer rings up and, let's say, says, oh, look, while we're replacing the printer, I'd like to have something with a second paper tray that duplexes A3, you know, they can almost hear the person on the other end of the phone roll their eyes going, oh, gee, there goes an hour of my day, don't have time for this. But, you know, I want to look after the customer. But if an engineer who doesn't want to negotiate price points and delivery costs for a heavy printer and so forth, and doesn't want to spend an hour finding it and quoting it, if they can do it in 1 or 2 minutes and the system tells them what the price point is and they don't need to have access to supplier portals and so forth, well, then they'll do it. And so it's released everybody in the business to be able to sell stuff. And engineers are particularly good at selling stuff because they know what to sell, and the customer's not really looking for the cheapest price. They just want a solution.
Yeah, and they want you to stand behind it too. You know, if you go down, you have a bad experience with JB Hi-Fi because the guy didn't know what he was talking about. He was just like, oh, look, I looked at the brochure. This one looked nice in the brochure. He doesn't really have much more expertise than you do, you know. Whereas you have your IT service provider, they already understand your business. They're in there all the time. They know what you like and what you don't like and what your price points are, and they can give you something that's really appropriate to your needs without you having to spend an hour trying to explain it to someone who doesn't have a foggiest idea anyway. I think that's the power of it. Like, you know, in talking about additional revenue that we were talking on before, this is one of the things I've found before. So I've mentioned RingCentral a few times, but I'm going around finding customers don't want telephones anymore. They don't want the desk phone. They see it as like an object of obsolescence, and that they're not a real cloud company or a real company if they have desk phones. It's not 21st century enough. So I'm like, oh, okay, I don't care. Like, I don't care if they buy phones or whatever. But what they do want is $400 and $500 headsets. And they might go, oh, initially, but then you go on, you show them the different headsets, you show them the pictures, and they go, oh, no, that's the one we want. We want that picture. We want, you know, we want the one with just one ear on it so people can hear what's happening in the space. Or we want, you know, they know what they want, but they need to see it. Otherwise, they sort of go, oh, you know, we'll just have, like, you see so many people on the desk phone with the, you know, and you're thinking, oh, that's no good at all, you know. But if you talk to the CEO, they know exactly what they want. I want the phone on my actual telephone. I don't want a desk phone anymore. This is all obsolete. You know, we're trying to go mobile, and, you know, those sorts of things. So I think these are the sorts of things that used to be arduous and painful and whatever, and now becoming a lot simpler. And that's what you want, isn't it, Lorenzo?
Yeah, simplicity, I think, is the key in execution. And in life, as a business, we get rewarded for what we did do, not what we would have, should have, could have done. And it is a measure of brand engagement, revenue. It makes your customer happier, but it also gives you better kudos when it comes to selling the solution. Because if you're good at selling a headset, for example, you'll be good at other things. It's just that perception the customer has. So the proposals are being in a format that's modern. And, you know, in the IT industry, it's amazing. We've got the most not
obsolete
so sharp
looking portals, with the exception of all the new Microsoft portals that all look nice, because Robert will kill me if I don't say that. But yeah, for the most part, they're pretty ordinary user interfaces on these things.
Look, we don't drink our own champagne, and we should be. And if you want to do an Office 365 migration proposal, for example, it can look absolutely stunning. Or, you know, Windows 7 is not going to be supported soon. So if you want to just send a proposal to all of your clients for a Windows 7 upgrade, you could literally issue a proposal to a client in under 30 seconds with, you know, why your company's so great. It can include videos and this and that, the other. It's pretty impressive for a customer to ask you a question, and 1 minute later, they've got a quote which they can see in their phone and digitally accept on their phone with a sort of DocuSign style functionality. It's our own system, but it complies with the same standards as DocuSign. And if they're bored at a meeting, they can accept that. And it just simplifies the transaction between you and the client. And I think that's part of the look of a modern MSP that's very important.
Oh, yeah. And that mobile responsive, like, this is one of the things I notice all the time when I go out and about, that every proposal sent today still comes in an A4 piece of paper, you know. And I was having a chat to another MSP a couple of days ago, and I'm like, how are you doing all your documentation? And like, oh, I'm doing it in Word. I'm like, yeah, you know, but Word's terrible. Word is fantastic for written documents that are going to be printed. email is great to replace the postal service, but when we start talking about people who are out and about and want the information on their phone, where they're spending 30, 40% of their lives now, and Microsoft's pushing this huge mobile first. Like, I remember Facebook's probably the most mobile first looking company in the world. They're very, very big on mobile first. And they went with Office 365 over G Suite because they're like, Microsoft agrees with us. It's all mobile first. But then the actual application of that technology, we're still running around with Word documents saying, oh God, I've got to write it and spend 3 hours doing a Word document. Oh, you know, the template and the formatting and all of this sort of thing, where we could just have content blocks, chuck in a video, can't have a video on a Word document, have all of this, and it's there, it's ready to go, but people still aren't using this technology. So maybe I should ask you a question, why aren't people adopting this technology? They've adopted it so quickly in consumer. You know, this is one of the rare times in history where the consumer is actually leading business and out-teching business. A 10-year-old can run around with Instagram and have more power than the typical enterprise customer, you know, to store and retrieve files. And it's crazy. How has this happened? What's your view on this?
Yeah, I think we have enterprise clients which are well served. You got vendors and plenty of people in suits walking these organizations and selling to them. And that would go down to the mid-market, which would be, you know, companies with, let's say, a few hundred PCs. Where you've got other companies like Brennan IT and so forth that sell into that space. But SMB, which employs about 50% of the population, they're really looked after by MSPs and retailers and things like that. So it's really up to the MSP to communicate what technology can do in the business and do a bit more than just the core range of what you typically do. And that's the part of the market that I think needs to be transformed going into the future. You know, simplifying, firstly, providing a proposal to a customer that they can understand and say yes to, because they're not so interested in what parts are in there. They just want to know that, you know, this thing's going to work and what value it delivers to their business. And providing that in a modern format that they can look at is really important. I wouldn't underestimate how important that is. A lot of MSPs are very technical and they don't really have too much of a marketing sales bone in their body. And the prettiness makes a real difference. We had actually an MSP who had a substantial solution they wanted their client to upgrade for a long period of time. I think it was the best part of a year. And they wouldn't accept the proposal. And they adopted Glue, put it in there, and it just looked prettier. And the customer accepted it straight away on their phone. That really does make a difference. It's the broadening of that range, I think, is key. We've also done some research for what systems do MSPs use to quote solutions with. And I was a bit surprised to see, but on a sample size of 8,000 MSPs using a PSA system, and this is globally, not just Australia, just over 10% were using a quoting system. I was surprised to see that. I would have thought it was more like a third. But the majority are still using Word. And I think the reason for that is that they've looked at quoting tools and said, oh, it's too hard to set up. It's too expensive. It's just, you know, they don't even like it. It wasn't good to use. It was clunky. You do things and then weird things happen on fonts around the place, or the systems were unstable and so forth. And so that there hasn't been a really impressive system on the market so far. So I think there's a lot of white space there for MSPs to adopt Glue as their sales quoting procurement platform and improve their customer engagement.
And I think that's what we're ultimately getting down to at the end of the day, that it doesn't really matter what you think. At the end of the day, the customer's leading the way. They're very vocal in a way of what they want. But I wonder if we're listening as an industry. And I don't know if you agree with this, Lorenzo, but like the sort of customers I'm coming across, they know what they want. They said, I just want it on my phone. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. And the technology doesn't exist. I'm like, yes, it does. Well, you know, why don't we have that? Why can't someone come and tell me about that? Like, I don't know any of this stuff. I'm a business person. I'm good at law. I'm good at, you know, accounting. I'm good at whatever. I don't know anything about this stuff. And I remember one of my friends, he did some research around and found that the main reason customers don't adopt new technology is purely because their advisors don't adopt new technology. So they won't move until their advisor will move. So if their accountant's still running around with a pen and paper, they're going to run around with a pen and paper. But if their accountant has got rid of the desk phone, starting using UC devices, starting using Office 365, started using modern tools for proposals, they have their own in their industry, and they do a lot better than we do as far as their proposals look as well. So they can... They're doing it based on what their advisors are doing. So what are we doing as an industry really to show the way for our customers and say, you know, it's okay. We do it too. You know, oh, I'm worried about security. It's okay. We've looked at it. We're happy with it. You know, we're doing it too. Is that where we're going to with this?
Yeah, I think on the one hand, there's a natural pent up demand in the marketplace. It's like when you go surfing, you can feel the wave coming on. But it's up to the MSP to paddle their surfboard and get in the right spot and stay on the wave. I feel sorry for our MSP friends with the amount of transition that the market has been doing over the last decade. And there's just been so much change so quickly and so many conferences to go to. And, you're being pulled from pillar to post. And it's just difficult to... move with the times. So that's why we're a big believer in simplification of adoption of a system. We make it super simple to onboard it. It's very little time. The amount of time that they spend onboarding it, they'll save that in their first month. The whole engagement with Glue is really simple. The whole engagement with their customers is really simple. That simplification facilitates greater agility for an MSP to be able to, have proposal templates. It's simpler for their staff to quote things to their customers and adopt change. So I think simplification is a real key. But I do agree with you. If the MSP does not communicate what business value, how it's going to transform the customer of their customers' experience with that business and how it's going to improve the operations of their company. If that value proposition is not very clear, then unfortunately, small businesses are going to suffer. I'm a big believer in the MSP channel to the extent that I sold my prior business and not all of that went as I had originally planned. But I really believe that small businesses want to buy from small businesses. They'll go to the Telstras of the world for their, wireless network, for their networks and so forth. But they need somebody like you to go to a customer and explain. They don't want to know bits and bytes. They just want to know how this is going to make a difference in their company.
Yeah. Well, it's like going to a builder, an architect or whatever, and you know, you don't go off and get yourself a plumber and get yourself all these different components. You need to go to someone who actually understands what's involved in the process, brings in the right people when they need to, brings in the right technology, sets a timeline, sets a budget, manages the technical components of it, and then translates that into a business product that the customer can use. Are we doing a great job of that? I think some providers are doing better than others. But I think it does start when we start talking about how we're communicating with our customers, and people are probably going to get sick of me saying this on the podcast, but if we can get better at communicating with our customers, they will be better off. And I don't know what the answer to all these questions are, but I think it does start with you know, with having a good conversation and really and adopting some of these new technologies and then showing rather than telling about what the story of digital transformation, you know, implement something like Glue or Microsoft 365 Business or whatever, use it and then go back to the customer and tell the story about what you learned. Oh, it was bumpy here or this was great, but at the end of it, this is the benefit we're getting. We're getting 800% more revenue and we're still hiring the same amount of people. What customer wouldn't want to be on board with you? If you're talking to a new customer, he said, well, we did that in our business and we exist to help you do that in your business. That's quite a compelling value proposition, would you say, Lorenzo?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that how you communicate things, that there are so many, your core solutions is only a handful. And there are so many other MSPs that MSPs know, or customers, or, you know, for not a lot of money, you can get a consultant that will look at your proposal and say, this is what you need to change. You know, take all the geeky stuff out and, you know, simplify these bits, but say more about that. And once you've got those proposal templates, then you're going to be a far more effective communicator of those solutions. It also makes it clear for your staff how to sell that solution because it's nice and clear in writing. And the other part is to add some fun to it all. You know, like using quoting tools, what we've seen out there, most people hate their quoting tool. And they, you know, it's just like they do not want to do quoting. Actually, I've got a funny story. I think this customer signed up for Glue on a Friday, and or he went live on a Friday night. And at 5 something or other in the morning on a Saturday morning, I got an email from him saying that he was up all night. He's never had so much fun doing quotes in his life. And he done
surely 200... that didn't happen. That surely didn't happen.
That absolutely
happened. You make
happened,
it this
yeah. up? Yeah, no. That absolutely happened. I can show you the email afterwards. And and he's done $200,000+ of quotes in one night. He's never had so much fun. He said, oh, look, you know, definitely subscribing to this after the free trial. And his business has been transformed because of the Glue. And, you know, we tend to do what we love doing, you know, and when you can do things that you used to hate really easily, you actually end up loving it. You know, like you might not like washing a car, but if you had a magic button that automatically washed the car, you know, every puddle you drive through, you'll end up pressing the button because it's just good fun. You know, you'll have this sparkling clean car, you know, because it's the thing you used to hate, now you love it. And that's really core to what we do, is we turn something that people hate into something they love, and as a consequence they do it a lot more and spend a whole lot less time doing a lot more.
Yeah, and I think traditionally what we've done in MSP land is focus on our customer service. You know, someone rings up the phone, we want to have a cheery sort of voice on the other end with a smile and let me see if I can fix that. And then, okay, well, I can't fix that. You got to get onto a grumpy level 3 tech and deal with that. But you don't want every single customer to ring up and have the grumpy level 3 tech. We really focused on making sure that when, you know, the users were ringing up, and particularly the ones who paid the bills, that they were getting a really high level of service. But I personally don't think that's good enough anymore, that customers sort of are now adopting technologies where they don't have to talk to anyone. Like a lot of the technologies I use, say Stripe, in the past you'd have to go to a bank and go and have a conversation and blah, 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 it's all complicated. Now I just sign up to Stripe, I'd send them a photo of my ID, and now I'm processing credit card bills. They're managing fraud prevention. They're doing it all in the background. They're providing a great customer experience. But they don't offer any customer service. They don't have an opportunity to. And at my sort of transaction level, there's probably no money in it for them either. So they've been able to sort of make something that was really complicated and convoluted and turned it into a really simple solution. And I think this is where our next wave, we have to get to this point. The cloud makes it possible. Microsoft makes it a lot easier than what it was 5 years ago. Like 5 years ago, it was just an absolute nightmare to sort of get that amazing customer experience. These days, it's 100% possible. And then you, but everyone's starting to get there now, so it's becoming a commodity. So how are you going to step out and differentiate over the top of that? And I think that's the crux of what we've been talking about today, Lorenzo. It's really about stepping up your game and going, you know, we can do better. And we might use a tool like Glue, or we might use a tool like whatever. But as long as, you know, as long as we're pushing the envelope and trying these new things and innovating, otherwise we're going to get left behind with our customers who don't get it, unfortunately. And I don't think anyone wants to be there.
Yeah, look, I've been in the channel for, if you include my former employee, for over 30 years, and I've seen the evolution of Microsoft. They've invested more in the channel than any other vendor I know. And they will continue to invest in the channel, and they believe in the MSP channel to reach that SMB market. But then you can also complement what Microsoft does with vendors like Datto, for example, who have a serious love. You know, we're vendor agnostic, but what I see with the team at Datto is they genuinely care for the MSP, and they're coming up with some fantastic solutions that are great margin, they're channel only centric, and very great to engage with. So I think there's a lot of wonderful new things. There's more and more technology you can sell to a small business. You know, we're not in this information age yet. We're sort of in this data age. If you know what to look for, you can kind of get it if you can somehow work out how to get it. But when computers are telling people what to do because, you know, there's a traffic jam, you're not going to make your 9 a.m., you know, your customer's looking at a competitor's quote, you know, do you want to swing past their office? And by then the traffic jam's cleared up. When your car's telling you things like that, you know, I reckon that's when we're in the information age, and that this will come about stealthily. You know, it's pretty amazing how fast a decade goes past, but you know, there's definitely going to be a strong ramp up. You know, now we're in it right now. That wave is definitely building.
Yeah, and I think if we just look back 3 years, even 12 months ago, and look at what's changed. You know, the big thing I've been getting all fangirly about is the Fluid framework that Microsoft's releasing. I'm getting pretty excited. I'm actually checking the portal as I speak to you to see if I can get in yet. But you know, those sorts of things going to absolutely be game changers. Mm-hmm. But you know, Robert and I speak about it quite often. Actually, it goes, well, if you haven't sort of got all your house in order, and someone rings me up and says, oh, look, I haven't done Office 365 before, but a customer's asked for this amazing solution and they need Intune, they need this. Can you help me with that? And he's like, no, I can't help you because I really need you to know the basics of Office 365 and the basics of this. I need you to have the foundation. I can build on that and help you. But if you're already 2 or 3 or 5 years behind and we have to take you all of this path up, well, you're not going to be able to do it. You're better off leaving it to someone who can and go find some work that you can do and then try and catch up your skills over the next sort of couple of years, you know? And I think that's where we're getting to. We've really got to think about it that way. I think that, you know, the world's not getting any slower. It's getting quicker. And we have to be make sure that we're at a pretty high level because we're the so-called experts. But I'll get off my soapbox now. We probably should think about winding this interview up.
Well, hopefully the listeners are enjoying our interaction here. I think I'd love to encourage the MSPs in this evolving world. You play a very important role. You have serious vendors like Microsoft, Datto, and so forth that are investing in your business. And we're seeing substantial amounts of investment in capital investment in the MSP platforms. ConnectWise recently got purchased for $1 billion, and then they bought SolarWinds for a huge amount of money. You see the Datto group, which bought Autotask and so forth, they're making huge investments in their platform right now as we speak. There's a rapid increase in capital investment in this marketplace. We're also investing in it. We've backed our whole business basically to back the channel of the MSP. So there's a lot of people that believe in you, the MSP out there, and your customer needs you. So there's a lot of push on one end, and there's a lot of vacuum in the marketplace in this fourth industrial revolution that we're entering into. So I think we're in for very exciting times.
Oh, I think that's a pretty good way of summing it up, Lorenzo. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you or wants to learn more about the solution we spoke about or whatever, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, you could visit glue.co, G-L-U-H.co, and find out a little bit about Glue there. You can sign up for a free trial or we'll do a remote session demo. If you do the free trial, it costs you nothing at all. There's no obligation to continue afterwards, and it's fully configured. We need an hour of your time to finalize that configuration integration into your existing systems, and also to train you the basics on the system, and then you're up and running. We help with templates and all that sort of thing. If you want to email me directly, my email address is lorenzo@glue.co, lorenzo@glue.co, or you could ring 1-800-00-GLUE. Lots of ways you can communicate with us, but we'd be really happy to show you why so many MSPs are raving about Glue and let you make up your own mind how it'll work in the business.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Lorenzo. I'm going to sign out now. So if anyone wants to reach out to Lorenzo, we'll make sure that those details are in the show notes. Otherwise, just hit rewind a couple of times and you'll be able to listen to them. All right. Thanks for being on the show, Lorenzo, and signing out.
It's a pleasure, Brenton. You have a great evening too. Ciao.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.